I got the idea from Lloyd and Iris Colvin because there was some difficulty getting licenses to operate there. And I was going to be in Costa Rica on my boat anyway. So I went to San Jose and got my license, or attempted to get a license there. The staff was very friendly and said, no problem, under the new reciprocal laws, we can grant you a license to operate anywhere in Costa Rica. So I said, very good. And they said, oh, you do have to pay 15 colones, which isn't very much money in U.S. I think it's about $8 or $9. We had to go to the national bank to make the payment, and we were issued a receipt. So they said, we'll have the license in the post in 2 or 3 weeks. So we waited about 2 months and made many phone calls to San Jose. The boat was in Punta Arenas, Costa Rica. And we never got a straight answer. Yes, it will be sent soon. But nobody ever said it would or wouldn't. So I took a chance. I said, well, I've paid for it. I've got the receipt. They assure me at the office and the telecom organization in Costa Rica that it will be sent, but I can't wait any longer because we were making the trip from Cocos Island to the Marquesas in French Polynesia, and we needed to do it during the proper season. So we went there and we operated, made about 4,500 contacts on all bands except 80, and we had good 10 and 15 meter propagation into Europe. So we made a lot of European contacts. So I'd been there about 10 or 11 days, I'm not sure which, and we were thinking about leaving. A Navy boat came in, and on board was the Minister of Telecom, TI-2 Fox Alpha Golf, who came and told me I was not operating legally. So I said, I paid for the license, and he says, but you know it needs my signature. And I said, well, I'm awfully sorry, but right now 10 meters is open to Europe. And he said, it is. And I said, please sit down and operate. So he sat down at the station and he made probably 50 contacts under his call sign from my station. And then he said, well, I'll be back tomorrow. And I said, well, okay, but we're planning on leaving. And so the next day we packed up the station, and we actually left the following day. He didn't come back. But that was the last we heard from him. So we made the trip to the Marquesas, and we forwarded all of our paperwork to the Northern California DX Foundation. We were one of the first to be sponsored by them. And they forwarded it all to the ARRL. And the ARRL said, well, you've paid for the license, therefore you're entitled to operate. So since it had my call sign on the receipt, that's all it took. So it was accepted. And W6KNH, Clyde, did the QSLing for the Northern California DX Foundation, and it was a successful one-man operation. And that's about it. Costa Rica had agreed to reciprocal privileges for the with the United States. Apparently, there were a few in the government, including Mr. Gomez, TI-2 FAG, who disagreed with it, that we shouldn't we shouldn't have a mutual reciprocal operating agreement. And basically, he wanted that for personal reasons because he was operating from Cocos Island and charging $1 each for QSL cards. And he thought that was a pretty good deal. But the big complaint about him was he didn't know CW. And there was nobody getting CW contacts from Cocos Island. And my main operation was CW, so that was kind of my goal, was to put it on CW. And the ARRL just started the five-band DXCC. And so we gave a lot of people 10-meter CW contacts that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be DX. And we were combining it with our passion for sailboating and yachting, and eventually sailed around the world and wound up with a home QTH in Australia and also a secondary one in France. So and now at the age where sailing is a little bit beyond, so ham radio is the exclusive hobby these days.
How did it all start with amateur radio and you?
I was a Boy Scout, and my father was a sea captain. And he had friends that were radio operators on board ships that he sailed on. And he encouraged me in my electronics that I got from the originally Boys Life magazine. And friends in high school, or in grammar school, to learn the Morse code. And go for my novice ticket. And I passed the novice exam in it was November of 57. And I got my license April of 58. And it didn't take too long for me to get my general. I studied hard and passed my general in November of the same year. So since then, I've gone on and made a career out of radio and electronics, and it's been a wonderful hobby. One of my early mentors was Lloyd and Iris Colvin, W6KG and W6QL. They lived down very close to me, and I would pop by their place to hear the latest about DX back when I was first licensed. And shown how to operate contests. I'd never been too involved in contests, but they were very into contesting. So when Lloyd got his new 75A4 receiver, I was one of the first guys to be able to listen to it. He had a 75A3 before that. And this was a very big improvement over the A3. So he was showing off his new receiver to me when he first got it. It was he had the mega station where I lived, and he was a real DXer, and he encouraged me incredibly in DX.